Coming up next, the wild and crazy Haas Outdoors.
Jill, why don't you tell the class what you did this weekend?
Well, my dad and I went in search of some magical minnows and found a zillion of them in the stream from our lookout rock. Then my sister and I escaped from an evil slug king and went back to my super twig fort for safety. Then we told stories till it got dark and the Big Dipper led us all the way home. Whoa!
Where were you, Jill?
We went to the forest. It's not that far away.
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
It is time for the Haas Outdoors, bringing you the news, how-to tips, where to travel, information on events, making fun of Yellowstone tourists, rambling on things don't make any sense, and just being a plain goofball. Here is your host, Charles Haas.
Good morning, Montana.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. Get your lazy butts out of bed. Good morning to you. Wakey, wakey out there. It is 10:30 a.m. on this wonderful Monday morning. But for you ranchers, it's another wonderful day in Moo Moo Land. Boy, for you, do that pretty good.
It was good. Oh, my gosh. That's so sad.
I'm going to play the fifth on that one.
I am, too.
Well, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. I had a really relaxing weekend. Thank you for asking. How was yours?
Oh, about the same. I stayed here on the studio and just piddled around and got some things done.
What? I don't see anything done. What did you do? Some things and some stuff.
Yeah, something like that, right. You know.
Okay, that's good. Good, good, good. We like, you know, everybody gets things and stuff done, I guess.
Frida just likes to give me a hard time about everything.
That is not true. Really?
Yeah.
Who's the one who's always giving me a hard time? Ew.
No, not me. I'm innocent.
Oh, my Lord. I know. I'll then let me pray for you then, okay? Everybody needs to bow their heads. I'm just kidding.
No, we give each other a hard time.
The boy needs Jesus, okay?
You know, it's getting that time of the year. Hunting season will be just around the corner.
You are right. It is about that time of year, and I can't wait because I get meat left and right from people that have too much from like the year before or something, you know. Of course, not the fresh kill. I get the old school, the year before, which is, to my opinion, is actually not bad. It doesn't taste any different to me.
You know, my favorite hunting is bird hunting. It's kind of like real exciting to me. It's like the most exciting thing I've ever done with my clothes on.
You're not. I'm like at loss of words for that one. I'm thinking, oh, what does he mean?
Well, it truly is my favorite kind of hunting. You don't have to worry about dragging any big elk out of the woods or anything. If you're out there 10 miles, you got the little tiny birds, you just stick them in your little backpack and off you go.
Bloody birds in your backpack, huh?
No, you plastic bags.
Oh. Make sure they're good and dead then. Suffocate them after you shoot them.
Well, when I shoot them, they're dead anyway.
That's
the ground.
Double jeopardy, man. That ain't right. Poor bird.
Now, one time I was actually squirrel hunting with a friend of mine back home. I shot a squirrel, and I thought he was dead. Maybe he was just stunned.
Mm-hmm.
I put him in a little plastic bag and had a little game vest in my jacket, my brand-new hunting jacket. And you probably know what's going to happen next.
I can barely contain myself because I can tell you probably just freaked out in the plastic bag. Or you killed it, died of suffocation or something.
No, he didn't.
Mm.
Well, what happened is it was a female squirrel because the mouth was open.
Wow, people. Oh, yeah, remember, that's how you tell animals apart, like fish, everything. Their mouth's open, it's definitely a female, definitely.
Well, anyway, this squirrel, he was unconscious, and I put him in my game bag, and all of a sudden, I felt this little scratching in my back.
I'm sure you weren't scratching your own back.
No, I wasn't. It wasn't me. Then all of a sudden, that squirrel came alive. It started barking, and it was clawing. I had this hunting vest on, so I took it off. And my brand-new hunting jacket, I was so excited trying to get this jacket off me. I ripped the buttons and all off of trying to get it out.
Oh, my God.
I threw the jacket on the ground.
Did it bite
you? Well, no, before then, I was trying to take the vest off. My friend said, hold still, and cocked his gun. He wanted to shoot that squirrel on my back. And I said, no, you're not.
That is weird. Why? What's he going to do? Can he think he's going to kill him and eat him? I mean, it's a squirrel, for God's sake.
Well, he wanted to shoot it again while it was on my back.
Yeah, in your back. What the hell?
Yeah, I mean.
Is he okay?
No, he was. He wasn't all there anyway. Okay, anyway,
he must have been a few fries short of a Happy Meal.
I got this jacket off and threw it on the ground, and there was this big rock sitting beside of the jacket. I picked the rock up and just threw it right on top of the jacket.
Oh, that's horrible. What a horrible... Oh, that was cruel.
But he was good eating, though.
How would you feel if someone dropped a rock on top of you and then ate you?
I won't know. I never had that happen before.
I know. Just think about how he's feeling. For once, I was just buying a little business, checking out the nuts around, seeing what he could salvage for winter, and you shoot him, and you don't even kill him. You just knock him out, and then he wakes up in a plastic bag in someone's backpack, and then all of a sudden, he gets smashed with a rock and can't even see it coming. I mean, geez. You might as well be a cereal killer, for gosh sakes. Poor little guy.
I do eat a lot of cereal.
Poor little guy. What?
I do eat a lot of cereal.
Oh my God. Okay, you know what? Yeah. That's all I could say. Yes. Okay. Yes.
Okay, back to the subject now. One thing you need to do before hunting season starts is go out and do some serious scouting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where you go out and look for stuff.
You go out and look for stuff and things like a man.
Yeah. You go out and see where the elk herd's at or wherever the bears are at.
Where's the bears at?
Yeah.
Where's the patty at?
One thing you should take with you is a good pair of binoculars or a spotting scope.
I would imagine you'd need something like that, yes.
Or in my case, I use to take a telephoto lens on a camera. That's how I use to spot my animals.
Well, it's because you're like a photo king. You'll go around taking pictures of anything and everything.
Well, not everything.
Well, yeah, I bet you do.
No, not me.
Whatever. I'm not even gonna, you know what? That's on you.
No, it ain't on me.
It's on you.
And if you do find a place you want to hunt is on private property, please ask permission from the rancher or the landowner.
Or he can shoot on site because it's his property.
Yeah, they probably will, too.
Oh, more than likely. They do not like it when people come on their property and kill animals because that takes food out of their mouth, too. You know what I mean? If they don't feel that there's enough going to be there for that year for them to hunt, they won't let you. They have a right to say yes or no, you know?
I knew some ranchers, they lost a fence where people just go in and they cut the fence down and drove their vehicles on their ranch and hunted in the back part of their property.
I'd been shooting some tires.
Well, they didn't find out until after the season's over. They went there and saw tire tracks and a gut pile.
Did you turn them in?
No, they couldn't. There's no way to find it. It was already over with.
Well, I'm just saying the tire tracks, they can find what kind of vehicle it was and probably figure it out. I mean, they're not going to re-tag. They, you know, have people that are from out of state. Most of the people know the laws around here and they follow them pretty well. So.
Well, most of them, yeah.
Yeah.
There's some of them that will probably just go anyway.
Yeah, there's some of the few that like just go where they want to, but most of the people in the state of Montana are not afraid to ask a rancher either. So they'll ask, you know, because, you know.
Well, chances are they probably know the rancher to begin with.
Yeah, and if they don't, they still will. I mean, they'll leave a note because a lot of times it's just a piece of property with a fence and like a box where request to they actually have like a request to hunt on the property that you can sign in a box sitting on their property because they don't really live there. You know, it's just their property. So they'll have like a little box with question, like pamphlets and stuff. I've seen those on people's
property. I've actually hunted those before.
Yeah. And you request that to be on the property at this time, blah, blah, blah. And they'll either say yes or no, and you have to go check it. You know what I mean?
No, what they do is they got a little box there. You fill out a little information, like your vehicle.
Like your voting or something, right?
Driver's license number or vehicle license plate number.
Uh-huh.
Your name, your address, your phone number.
And they contact you and let you know yes or no.
No, you actually, you drop in a little box and you go hunting.
Oh, so they know who's been there.
Yeah,
so
they know who's been there in case they got some damage. They can go through the list and find out
right
who did
right.
what. No, when I go on someone's property, which I've done this before, if I see a fence or something broke, I usually go and report it to the rancher. And a lot of times I'll offer to fix it for them.
That's good. That's good.
And a lot of times they'll like, for instance, this one rancher used to be an immigrant, wouldn't let no one hunt on his property, didn't even want anybody to walk across his property.
Mom.
But I became real good friends with him, and he let me hunt on his property. And the first time I was there, I saw some broken fence, And after I got done hunting, I went there and told him what had happened. And I said, if you want me to, I'll go ahead and fix it for you if you don't have time. He said, I'll go ahead and fix it for him if you want to. And he gave me the tools, and I went up there and stretched the fence back up and put it back in place for him.
There you go.
And he looked at me. He said, you know, I have never seen anybody do that in my entire life, and I'm from here.
Wow. You're
welcome to hunt anytime you want.
There you go. See, one random act of kindness gets you very far in this world.
I miss his wife's cooking.
That's why you did it, because you wanted to eat his wife's food. Yeah, there. See, I knew there was a catch.
No, I actually went there to shoot gophers one day.
Oh, you got a wife that cooks? Oh, I'll fix the fence.
But she was too old for me.
Well, she was his wife, man. Okay, you know what? Yeah. Yeah, people.
Well, sad to say, they're both passed away now. I went back to look for them last year.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, and
it happens.
Yeah, the ranch was sold to somebody else.
Oh, and then they don't want you there or what?
No, they got a lodge there in this place.
Oh, for hunters, a hunting lodge?
No, it's like a vacation lodge.
Oh, what? Oh, well then somebody with money bought that place.
Yeah, it's a big lodge too.
I'm building it.
Because I was talking to the manager at the lodge. We was trying to do a TV show there for the Angling Channel. And I saw that pond I used to sit by with in a lawn chair and shoot gophers.
Oh, wow.
With that rancher. He had lawn chairs to carry in the back of his truck, and we sit out there and just pop gophers all day and go down to his house and eat dinner with him and his wife.
I couldn't do it. I tried. They were wanting us to shoot gophers. We were like riding around the field while they were baling hay and putting them up on the baler and then stacking them on and everything. And we were driving around the truck. We're supposed to be shooting like the prairie dogs or groundhogs or whatever they call them, and they had little babies, and they were I just couldn't do it. I can't do that.
Some ranchers will actually pay you to do that.
It's horrible. I just can't kill random animals for no reason. I mean, you're not supposed to kill things unless you're going to use them in some way.
Well, the gophers will put holes in the pastures,
but that's their home. They were there first.
Yeah.
And it's a part of the, that's what I'm saying. You know, we take over their home and then we kill them for being there. It's just, I don't get it. I know it's the way of the world and that's how you do it, but it just doesn't make any sense to me because that they deserve to be there.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it. And they're so cute. The babies are so cute and tiny. I can't even see the dang thing, let alone shoot it. And they're shooting these babies coming out of the holes. They're like an inch tall from what I could see. You know, I don't think they're that. I mean, they're probably 3 inches, but still, they're so little. There's nothing left after they're done shooting it, okay? I mean, it's like a gone. It's like a dye bag just popped over there.
Well, I did shoot one with a 58 caliber muzzleloader one time at close range on a ranch I was on. Anyway, let's get back to our subject again. We got off track again.
No, we weren't. We were talking about animals and stuff and things. Okay.
Okay, another important thing is about scouting is get a topo map.
A what?
A topo map.
What is that?
That's a map about the land.
Well, okay, well, the way you said it, I didn't understand what you were saying. A topo map?
Yeah.
Topo map?
Topo.
Topo.
You can actually do them. Now you can actually do them on your cell phone.
Oh, like a type up a map, you mean? Type
a
map?
No, it's a map that shows the terrain. And, like, electric lines and those kind of things.
Okay, all right. So it's just, like, the natural parts of the map, not any man-made things. It's what's, you know.
Yeah, what's natural, like the mountain range tells you about the elevations.
Okay,
and those kind of things.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of animals are in certain parts of that part of the
map? No, it's just the top of the map, just at the area. Mm. Mostly just keep from the greenhorns from getting lost.
Greenhorns, that's newbies. That's what a newbie is, right? A greenhorn is a newbie, right? Someone that just starts hunting or new at anything, anyway, they call them a newbie or a greenhorn. If you're brand new to the force of police station, they call you a greenhorn.
Or tenderfoot nitty, what the ranchers would call them.
A what?
Tenderfoot nitty.
Tenderfoot ninny. Okay. A ninny. I haven't heard that ever. I think my grandma said that once when I was like 2. Ninny.
Well, I know a lot of ranchers that would call new people that to come into town.
Tenderfoot ninny. That's cute.
I've been accused of being one before.
I wouldn't
too.
Be offended by that because it's cute.
It sounds funny.
Tenderfoot ninny.
Yeah. Now, for you younger people, what I want to talk about is a compass.
The compass.
Yeah.
The mighty compass. North, west, east, and south.
I wonder if the younger generation know how to use one of those.
Yeah, surprisingly enough, even they have actual, like, little things you can get, like keychains that have them on it and things like that. So kids know what they are. And plus, a lot of the cartoon movies, they have them, like, or Pirates of the Caribbean had one. So they've seen movies. They know what they are. They may not necessarily know what they are, but they've seen them, you know. Never yeah. used one or anything, but they know what they are.
Kind of like a typewriter.
Yeah. Yeah. They'd be like, what is this? Where's the screen?
Where do you hit print?
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, that happened before.
I need to erase that word. Where's the check? Where's the spell check?
Okay, now we'll go off subject again. I got to tell you this story. I was talking to a guy on the ham radio. He had a daughter that had to do a book report on typewriters. Mm. But she had to type it out on a typewriter.
Okay.
So she went there and typed it out. And after she got done doing several pages, she hollered, Dad, where do you hit print?
Poor girl. She lives a sheltered life. Excuse me.
That just kind of cracks me up.
Where do you push print? That's cute. She just typed it all out on there. It's already on it.
Yeah, she was trying to figure out where do you hit the print button.
Didn't she just type the whole paper and now she wanted to print it out? I'm sure you typed it herself. And
that's yeah, that's what she was wanting.
Oh, okay. That girl's got more than what something wrong with her.
A generation gap.
Yeah, there's, yeah. She's now that's a few fries short of a Happy Meal. That's the meaning of that right there.
That's not even a Happy Meal. That's like the crumbs.
Yeah. There you go. Pretty much is what the Happy Meal is nowadays, the crumbs.
Like this one woman I was talking to at the newsroom at a TV station I used to work for. Mm-hmm. I was a stringer, and I did fill-ins. Like if they needed a video shot, they'd come and contact me.
Okay.
Anyway, I got talking about teletype machines. Well, it was the old way of retrieving news. It's a typewriter you hook up to your phone line. And when the news comes in, it just sits there, and you know you can see the thing is doing the typewriter thing, and it prints it out.
Oh,
she never heard of one.
I didn't know what they were called. I've seen one, but I did not know the name of one. No,
I used to own a couple.
They're old, like way before your time and mine.
No,
as well.
I remember seeing them at the newspaper when they were running.
When you were a kid.
I was about 14 when they took them out.
Yeah,
14 or 15.
I wasn't even born yet.
They actually had to put them in a soundproof room.
They're loud.
Yes, they are. Especially yeah. You got about three or four going on at the same time with different news stories coming out.
I've actually seen movies back then on TV where they had in a newsroom and they were all getting stories on the phone thing. And it was, yeah, and they were like loud, loud, really loud.
Then you got this little bald head guy walking around with a little oil cup sitting there just putting oil every once in a while on the mechanical parts of him.
Oh, wow. That's just, wow.
It was called the Technician.
The Technician. Why didn't they just call him the Oiler?
Well, he actually
or
took...
the Luber.
The Luber, yeah. The Lubricator.
The Lubricator.
That's funny.
You're like,
The Lubricator.
You're sick.
No, it's just one of those funny things off the wall.
I would probably just call him the oiler or you know conditioner. The conditioner. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good name for him.
There you go. Because they have like conditioning spray for belts and things. You know that you spray on the car if your belt's like squealing. A lot of times, you can just use a bar of soap. I mean, that's the old school way of getting it to stop squealing for your the power steering belt or the serpentine belt, whatever.
Yeah.
But you can buy a spray that's called the belt conditioner that you spray on your belts. Softens them up so they stop squealing because they get dry and start cracking and stuff. Keep them like you do your tires, you know.
You know, the only thing wrong with my truck since I had it was flat tires.
That means you're out of alignment.
No, just I go on these back roads, and I was using used tires.
Okay.
And end up getting flat several times.
Yeah, we're not even on the subject of animals hunting or anything that.
Well, this is I was actually scouting.
Prepared for hunting.
I was actually scouting when this when these flat tires
Make
happen.
Make sure you don't use tires when you're scouting. Make sure they're new.
Make sure they're new. Your vehicle should be in good condition and nice oiled up. And
yeah, get your fluids checked and make sure that it's in, your tires are good before you go.
And don't have your woman to drive.
Whatever. Most of the time, the men don't come home because they done wrecked that thing trying to go up a cliffhanger to get some longhorn sheep or something and rolled it, you know. So,
longhorn
whatever.
Sheep.
If they're hunting by the mountains and they want to, like, try
you
and
You mean bighorn sheep, not longhorn.
Yeah, longhorns are cows. Oops.
Most of the sheep country, you can't drive a truck in.
Yeah, they can walk in some weird, like a total wall that looks totally flat to us. They can literally climb it with the little tiny cracks and the itty-bitty little spots that we don't necessarily see.
Yeah, that and mountain goats, too.
Yeah, those are crazy. They can the terrain that they can go up, I would be like, what in the heck? Like, they're demonically possessed because there's no way anyone is human could get up the side of a hill like that, a rock mountain. It's nuts.
I know someone shot
Amazing.
A bighorn sheep. They couldn't even retrieve it.
Oh, that's too bad. Bummer.
It fell down the cliff. And it hit the bottom, and it went down another cliff.
Oh, mercy. Ouch. That bladder probably burst, so it wasn't going to be any good anyway.
Well,
by that far.
When he fell the second time, the walls were too steep to even go down and get it.
Well, it's too bad.
Yeah.
What a waste.
Yeah, it was kind of a waste.
Yeah.
Well, one thing... Before you go hunting, make sure you have your hunting license.
That's the first thing.
Yeah.
You need to make sure you know how to use a gun.
Yeah, that too.
And you make sure your safety on as well so that you know you don't end up shooting yourself. And get a hunting license.
Yeah, get the hunting license and make Mr. Game Warden happy.
There you go. And then go out and to a gun range and make sure, you know, if you're not confident with your shooting skills, you know, you can always practice. That's what they have hunting ranges for. There's no shame in that, you know. At least you make
I
sure
love
that,
going to the rifle range.
Yeah, I would. I mean, if I was ever going to go hunting again, which I haven't gone in a very long time.
You want to go this year?
Maybe.
Okay.
It depends on how I feel.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll take you bird hunting. That way we won't have to do any serious dragging.
Yeah. Well, I don't care about that. I'm just, it's the walking and standing for long periods of time.
Well, we'll have Spirit do most of the work.
Well, he'll go get the bird after
no, he
shoot it, and he'll go retrieve it.
No, he don't retrieve.
Oh, he just scares him out, and then you shoot
he
him.
He scares and you shoot him, and he just looks at him. let you know where they're at.
He stands there. Hey, it's right here. I'm on my...
Kind of like trying to tell you where it's at, but he sits there and sniffs on him.
Oh, well, at least he doesn't, you know, partake before you get there.
But he used to be a real good squirrel dog at one time.
He's getting old.
Well, back
and he hasn't been doing anything like that, you know. Really.
Well, there's no squirrel hunting here in Montana because little red squirrels, but back home, you know, the squirrels are about the size of a female house cat.
That's so small. That's not even a meal.
Oh, yes, it is. When you get
what
do
you
make
squirrel soup or something stew or
yeah,
what?
You can have squirrel stew.
Is it taste? What does it taste like? Chicken?
Like squirrels?
Well, I'm just saying. Something
it don't taste
that I would
like
ate.
Chicken.
Is it red meat or what is it?
It's kind of like brown meat.
So like pork or what? I don't know.
No, it's
what's it taste like?
Taste
if you were
like,
to say this the kind of meat that it yeah, it tastes like squirrel. Okay, great. But I'm just saying if you were to refer to a type of meat that you would eat here.
Yeah.
Like if it was all these you know, like antelope and all these meats here, bobcat, whatever you decide to eat, what would it be closest taste to?
Raccoon.
I didn't say raccoon, bro.
You said animal here, they do have deer.
Did you hear me say a raccoon, man? No.
They taste like raccoon.
Okay, well, what does raccoon taste like?
Like squirrel.
And what does squirrel taste like?
Like a raccoon.
Okay, I'm about to knock you across this table. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If I already eat one, what would I say? This kind of tastes like...
Oh, I'll tell you what.
Something
that
I've already ate, not a squirrel or a raccoon. For God's sake, you're eating raccoon?
Yeah, you can eat raccoons.
There's something wrong with you. They are so cute. Why would you want to eat a raccoon?
They
eat garbage.
Good.
They are not good eating. They're meat. They eat. They're scavengers.
They eat possums back home too.
Well, I've eaten possum.
And they're ugliest animals. They're more ugly than my first mistake.
Yeah, but you know what? They're good to have around because they kill bugs. They eat bugs, and they're you know.
Keeps me entertained on the off season.
They're good for the ecosystem. They really are. You don't need to kill them.
I've killed many of them.
I have too. My dogs have killed a few in the yard. So,
what, possums?
Mm-hmm, in Washington, yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant, I was like, wait a minute, I don't think there are any possums here.
No, in Washington State, there's possums. They got lots possums? Of them. They're all over the place, man.
How in the world did they miss Montana and go straight to Washington?
I don't know. But they're everywhere. In Oregon, too. There's lots. I mean, you see dead ones everywhere. People, they get hit by cars all the time.
Yeah, one night I hit three of them.
Possums, raccoons, porcupine, a lot of foxes, you know, little coyotes, things like that. You see a lot more of those than you do deer or anything else.
Yes.
They're because they get chased out of their habitat, man. They're putting housings up and they have nowhere to go. So they.
Just like back home.
Yeah. You know, sad.
I mean, they're back home. The place I shot my first grouse is someone's backyard now under the house there.
Oh, wow. Wow. Yeah, my house where I grew up, there's not even, I lived on the Spotted Butt Ranch. We had Appaloosas and paints.
Spotted Butt Ranch?
That's what we call it, because Appaloosas, they have, you know, spots on their butt, and paints are like spots.
Yeah, I know the paint.
That's the horses, what we had there, and we had quite a bit of acreage, and there was a woods behind our house. I mean, like 2 acres of property, and then a bunch of woods all the way around. Well, now it's all gone. They got single family dwelling houses and apartment complexes now. There's nothing. It doesn't even look like the little town of Pacific, Washington, where I grew up.
Yeah, it's a shame how things are changing.
It looks like a little tiny big city. It has a super mall and everything in it now. It's really sad.
The governor's Grizzly Bear Advisory Council is close to wrapping up a long effort and calibration with a public meeting on July 21st to the 22nd to work out the final draft report. Wonder if they mean hunting season. They probably don't know what that is. We need a grizzly hunting season here. Everybody in favor,
nope.
Say aye.
And endangered species.
They're not endangered species.
They are right now.
No, they're not.
If they say they are, they are. Okay. You don't got a choice. You just got to take it and be like, all right, you know, so what?
All right. Well, anyway, the Citizen Advisory Council is scheduled to gather in Helena from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on July 21st and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on July 22nd. The council continues to exercise caution with the COVID pandemic and to use its website to encourage the public during the meeting. Montana remains committed to maintain a long-term visibility of the grizzly bear, consistent with the Endangered Species Act and the FWP's long history of wildlife conservation. For more information on the council, visit fwp.mt.gov/gbac. Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks has reopened a Voyager Rest and Gritty Stone fishing access to vehicle traffic this week, after it closed June the 1st because of flooding. The two sites along the Yellowstone River near Warden were flooded by high spring runoffs and restricted to walk-in traffic only June the 1st.
The deadlines to apply for 2020 special hunting licenses for swans and sandhill cranes is July 24th. No paper applications will be accepted by mail. An application form is available on the FWP website at fwp.montana.gov, or applicants may go to an FWP regional office where the staff will help enter the online form. Details about all webless bird and waterfowl seasons are online at fwp.montana.gov/hunting/regulations, or in paper copies at available license providers or FWP offices. Bats play a very important role in our ecosystem.
Batman.
Pollinating many important plants, devouring thousands of bugs, including mosquitoes, and saving farmers in the U.S. $23 billion annually in crop damage and pesticide use. Unfortunately, bats face many threats, including habitat loss, persecution from fear or misunderstanding, wind turbines in areas used by bats, and the latest threat to the scene, white nose syndrome. WNS is caused by a fungus, which attaches to the skin of bats and interrupts winter hibernation by waking too soon. They use up important energy reserves needed to get through the winter and eventually perish. In Montana, FWP and partners concerned about conservation are doing their part to monitor the spread of WNS. FWP Region 7 non-game biologist Brandy Scone and wildlife intern Rhonda Wagner have been visiting bat roost sites under bridges and elsewhere to collect guano samples and environmental swabs. Recently, biologists detected that the fungus at three sites in far eastern Montana, although the fungus is present, there is no evidence of the disease yet. And we are hopeful that Montana's bats will not be affected to the extent that they have been in the East Coast, where millions of bats have been lost to this disease.
Yeah, we lost a few in my home state, too.
Poor little guys. I think they're cute.
Yeah.
People are afraid of them, and I'm not. My stepdad used to sleep in the car because a bat would, when my parents' house was in the middle of, in Rossburg, Washington, which is on SR4 going towards Long Beach. It's on the Washington side of the Columbia River. And some bats somehow had gotten upstairs, a family, like a mom and a dad and some babies. And they were flying around the house, and my stepdad was so afraid of them. Vermin, he'd say. Vermin. He would sleep in the Impala. And my mom would make a makeshift net out of, like, nylons and a strainer. And she'd catch him and throw him outside. It was so funny. I was like, oh, my gosh, you guys are incredible.
And they probably went back right in the house, too.
No, actually, I'm not going to say anything else other than they were outside. I don't think they were put to sleep or something. I mean, like, I think my mom buried them or something. They kill them and then they bury them, you know, so other animals don't just eat. So in case they have some type of rabies or something, she would just dig a hole and put them in there and, like, bury them.
If you're with an outdoor organization, like to share some news, or want to brag about a hunting and fishing trip you was on, or just want to ramble on something about hunting and fishing, please email me at hawsoutdoors@treasurestateradio.com. That's all the time we have, folks. Thank you for listening in. This is Goofy Charles Hawes and Treasure State Radio saying so long and be safe out there.
Ranger Station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now. There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service, Ad Council, and your state forester.